Advent means arrival or coming. For Christians, it is a time to remember both the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh and to eagerly await the day when God's reign will be made complete. In the meantime, we long for, watch for, and pray, Thy kingdom come. We yearn to see signs of Christ's growing rule and reign, and we are learning to yield to this reality. As Christians, we proclaim with our words and demonstrate with our lives that hope is more powerful than despair or cynicism, that peace is more enduring than violence, that joy is ultimately more fruitful than anxiety, unresolved anger, or rage, and that love will indeed overcome hatred, fear, and all forms of injustice. And so we pray, come, Lord Jesus, into our lives, into our community, and into the world, and may your light dispel every shadow cast by sin, sorrow, suffering, and shame. On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we focus our attention on love.
As your church, dear Lord, we often struggle to love as you have loved us.
Whether it is loving ourselves, loving our neighbors, or loving our enemies, it challenges us to the core. Many days, we even have a hard time loving one another.
But we want to love, or at least want to love, as you do. And so this morning, we light this candle of love.
May its light reveal those places in our lives and in our life together that are not yet illuminated by love. May it spark in us compassion for others and a willingness to lay down our lives in service to you and for the sake of your world.
As you do this, O God, we ask you to ignite with us the passion and power to step faithfully into your will and way.
This week, through the words we speak and with our hands and feet, may the love of your coming kingdom be realized in and through us.
And may the light of this candle say to all that God's love is come and is coming on earth as it already is in heaven.
Friends, be not afraid. God's love is at hand.
A decree from Caesar Augustus went out to all people, went to their towns to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth to the city of Bethlehem because he was descended from the house of and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who they were expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver. She gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place in the guest room. Shepherds were watching over their sheep, and an angel of the Lord came to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born today in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
So the angels left, and the shepherds headed in to find Jesus. When they found them, they were amazed, and Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Jesus was named on the eighth day and was presented in the temple. A man called Simon, who was righteous and devout, took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
Thank you, Matea and Lucy. You might have noticed that was not 40 verses. It was a paraphrase, so I encourage you to read it on your own. Thank you for letting me come and be before you all once again. It's an honor, and I've missed you all. Short life update before we launch in. Since wrapping up my pastoral position here in August, took about 6 weeks off, and then I've been subbing in our amazing school district, primarily in SPED, special education, as an educational assistant. If you wonder where some of our current day angels are, they're working in our schools. These angels are underpaid and undersupported, with kiddos of all needs and all abilities and strengths. I'm in awe of these folks and so honored to work alongside them. Just this past week, I started a permanent position at Edwards Elementary.
Wow. Wow, thank you.
As a special ed assistant. I show up and support kiddos at school, trying to give them my best while supporting them with life skills and learning, and then I go home. It's a slower, calmer life, and Nathan and I are really enjoying our evenings and weekends together. We have 2 weeks off right now. This educational calendar is awesome.
We'll see. You might want to ask us in like 6 months how we're doing.
I thank you again for all the ways that you've loved us. Our passage for today comes from Luke 2, 1 through 40, and as I said, it's a long chunk, so I encourage you to read it on your own. It's a familiar passage if you've been in the church. Jesus is born in a stable, and there are shepherds and angels and blessings, the whole shebang. And some of it is familiar when a baby is born, right? Surrounding the couple, giving gifts, bringing meals, showing love. And some things are not common. Angels and giving birth in a stable, a virgin birth, there's that. Jesus is the promised Messiah, Savior, and Lord, bringing hope and peace. When preparing for this message, I could not get past the angels showing up and saying, "Do not be afraid." So here in verse 10, the glory of the Lord shone. Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. And I've been thinking that I'd like an angel to come and tell me, to tell us, do not be afraid. And I don't know about you, but I felt pretty afraid lately. For my friends that are brown and terrified that ICE will come to their homes or their jobs or their kids' school. I'm afraid for those losing health care and SNAP benefits. I'm afraid for the eradication of Palestinians. And frankly, I'm afraid for whatever the next executive order is. Mary and Joseph also had a lot of reasons to be afraid. The fact that Mary was pregnant outside of marriage. In fact, if you look at Matthew in chapter 1, Joseph was encouraged to discreetly divorce her instead of publicly shaming her, but decided against it when an angel visited him. Again, encouraging him not to be afraid. I'm assuming that Mary was also afraid to travel while pregnant. Good Lord. They tell women not to fly when you're like at 7 months, and here she is traveling on a donkey. Mary had cause to be afraid just for the fact that she'd soon have a newborn and was never going to sleep again. Okay, maybe that was just me, but newborns aren't easy, and it was not awesome for me. I'm assuming that just the fact that angels appeared induced fear into Joseph and Mary and the shepherds. So I just kept holding this question. Where are our angels today? Who is showing up, telling me, telling us to not be afraid? Just the fact that this wackadoodle angel shows up and says, do not be afraid, is everything just supposed to be okay? I mean, how did they know to trust this angel? And honestly, this angel isn't talking about, like, don't be afraid for a long time, because we know what happens with Jesus. Who is saying, do not be afraid right now? And what does it look like to help alleviate fear that each of us might be carrying? And as I've held this message in my heart, I've been thinking that maybe part of being in fear is sitting with one another. That part of the gospel, part of the message of do not be afraid, is to hold one another. That maybe none of us have the answers or even helpful suggestions, but the mere fact that we don't go through it alone can alleviate the fear, maybe for a little bit. And in some ways, I think I'm preaching to a group of people that's already doing this. There have been some really cool ways that North Valley has exemplified this recently. I think about collecting food for folks that are afraid that they don't have enough food. I think about the very cool ways that we're partnering with Unidos while they do the important work of helping immigrants in our community who live in fear. I think about loving all the LGBTQ folks around us that constantly gauge whether they are in safe spaces or not. Our school superintendent, Dave Parker, walked through the Edwards parking lot for 2 straight days while ICE was in the neighborhood. I don't know what he was going to do, but it sure helped those of us in the building feel a little better. I've been thinking about the ways that North Valley is partnering with Iglesia so they can worship in safety. I think about the ways that we hold and pray and love those in our community that are sick. Maybe sometimes, friends, we are the angels, and maybe sometimes our mere presence helps alleviate the fear. Or maybe we are the ones in fear, and we have someone or someones that sit with us in the dark. Who is afraid? Is it you? Is it your neighbor? Is it someone in your family? Who might you be a message of do not fear for? And if you're the person, who can you share with that you feel afraid? What if part of our calling and bringing the good news of bringing about the kingdom on earth is to help alleviate fear just a little bit? The angel said that they were bringing good news of great joy for all people. That's something else that I just couldn't get over this past 2 weeks. It wasn't like for some of the people. It wasn't for those that follow my word. It's not for the biblical scholars and the churchgoers. It was for all people. So if our messages of acceptance and love are for only some of the people, then it's not good news for all. And I think we need to examine that. Jesus came to earth to be good news for all people. Jesus coming to earth is good news of great joy. And maybe Jesus doesn't feel like great joy right now, and that's okay. Maybe the good news right now is to help alleviate fear a little bit. Maybe the good news right now is to spread love just a little bit more. Friends, we are able to love others because God first loved us and loves us. We cannot think that we love God and hate others around us. There are no boundaries to this kind of love. God loves all and is love to all, and we are called to do the same. God's love made present and visible in Jesus is the source for that love that we share with others. Jesus ignored the limits that religious communities imposed. He ate and talked with people that the religious leaders had rejected as heretics. He touched people that were considered untouchable and welcomed people whom everyone else had kicked out. His harshest words were not reserved for the impure, but for the unloving, self-righteous people who saw some of God's children as beneath their attention and as unworthy of their love. If Jesus shows us what God's love is like, then there can be no doubt how far our love for others must extend. It extends to every single human being. Good news of great joy for all people. If God is love and we love others, then on some level we all know God. This love, this kind of love, frees us to be immeasurably more than we can be on our own. Christ's love coming in flesh as a vulnerable human baby is one of the biggest ways God has taught us about love. To be open to love and to love others is to allow God to transform us and to transform the world through love. Martin Luther King Jr., I think, said it best, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." As people that follow Jesus, we partner with God to bring more light and love into this world. A couple weeks ago, I was scrolling through Instagram, probably like some of you, and just totally zoning out. Scrolling, yep, cute dog, yep. Came across my friend Rusty St. Cyr's Instagram, and it sharpened my focus right away. I found myself nodding. It wasn't Rusty, by the way. He's sharing somebody else's. But you'll see that in just a second. I found myself nodding and saying aloud to no one else in the room, "Yes, yes. I believe one way to love right now is along the lines of what Damien encourages us to do. His Instagram handle is The Macadamian, and here's that Instagram post."
One of the most powerful acts of resistance that any population can take is just considering more people friends. And so if you're someone who considers themselves an activist, someone who wants to fight oppression, you need to start thinking very carefully and very seriously about how to make friends and how to spread friendship throughout your community. It would take me a week to lay out all the examples of why, of how the powers that be do not want us to become friends. That's like their worst nightmare. In their ideal world, they want us all to be fighting all the time. They want men and women to be fighting. They want black and brown and white people to be fighting. They want neighbors to be afraid of each other. That's like their ideal world. And why? Because the more division that you have between people, the easier they are to control, right? The easier you can sell them any sort of narrative. You can tell one person one story, and they'll believe it. You can tell another person another story, and they'll believe it. You can tell infinite narratives about anything that you want, and people will always believe it because there's no corroboration of these stories, right? Because nobody trusts each other. There's no trust. The last thing that they want is people actually becoming friends and saying, "There's some, like, we're poking holes in things." It destroys the spell. It breaks the spell. So if you really want to change the world, it starts with you. Start making better friends. Start spreading friendship throughout your community. Start considering people who you would never even know as friends. And watch how things might change for all of us.
Okay, as Quakers, we should have this, right? We're friends. Friends, I do think this is revolutionary. And I know that we all live full lives, and maybe our friend card is full. Maybe part of bringing good news to one another is to make friends, to expand, to widen our hearts, to widen our minds, to lengthen our tables, to expand our understanding, to sit with each other, even in the dark. Let's go into a time of open worship, listening to our present teacher, Jesus, who is good news of great joy for all the people, even you and me. If God gives you a message for all of us, please stand or raise your hand so a microphone can be brought so we can all hear. Let's listen together.